بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد إن شاء الله tonight we want to be going over a story and the dua of a great prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Yunus عليه السلام and in the process we want to also clarify some misconceptions that have crept in over time even in the tafsir literature regarding his lofty status and some of the incorrect things that have been attributed to him and how that misinterpretation occurred from the words itself of the Quran. Just to review the basic storyline without additional details, the storyline is very simple that there was a city of Nineveh in northern Iraq near Mosul of today, and there was a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent there, and he was inviting the people for many, many years and decades, Yunus alayhi salam, Yunus ibn Matta, and the people were not believing, continued to reject him. He finally gave up hope and he made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, oh Allah, these people are bent upon denial of the truth, so oh Allah, destroy them. And he knew that this is exactly what happened with respect to Nuh alayhi salam, who has preceded him, and other prophets in the past, that when they became despondent and they raised their hands against their ummah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down the flood in the case of Nuh alayhi salam, as we actually covered those ayahs tonight. So what happened is, Yunus alayhi salam then ended up leaving. He thought the adab of Allah is coming because he cursed the people, and he started leaving from the city. And when he went out to the river, there was a boat that was fully laden and fully loaded up. He went and he got a seat on that boat. As the boat went out, we'll see these ayat are in the Quran. From Surah Anbiya, Yunus, Safat, and Qalam. From four places, we'll cover quickly. Surah Anbiya is the whole dua and rescue is mentioned in Surah Anbiya. And as we covered last night as well, if you recall, in Surah Al-Anbiya, I mentioned that the theme over there is the recurring theme is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is accepting the du'as of the prophets. In Surah Yunus, Allah ta'ala talks about the whole qawm of Yunus, how they, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, accepted their tawbah. It's a unique scenario that has never happened to any nation prior to and afterwards. What's so unique about it, we'll see momentarily. Then in Surah Safat, it gives more details of the boat and that other narrative details. And then we're going to come to Surah Qalam. And Surah Al-Qalam, Allah Ta'ala is instructing Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and giving Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, our Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, instructions about don't rush like what happened to Yunus Alayhi Salam. So I want to keep it brief, right? Just the translation because there's so many ayat to cover. So what happens now is that he is in the boat, فَسَاهَمَّ فَكَانَ, is coming in Surah Safat, that the wind started blowing and the rain started pounding, the lightning, the thunder, and the waves started crashing against the boat, little boat, and they were afraid for their lives. So then the captain of the boat said, it seems that someone has left without permission, like a slave run away from his master. Is there someone who was on this boat without permission from their master? And that is why the adab is coming. So Yunus alayhi salam said, that's me. Then they said, no, you are very pious person, it cannot be you. And then he kept on offering himself. Then they said, okay, we'll draw lots and see whose name comes out. And whoever's name comes out, then they can jump off the boat. And they drew lots, it was his name. Then they said, no, there must be a mistake. They did it a second time, it was his name. Then they said, it must be a mistake. The third time is his name. Then now the situation is getting from bad to worse to dire. So then they said, okay, I mean, you already were volunteering yourself. Maybe, you know, that's what it is, if it has to be. So then he jumped out of the boat. And when he jumped out of the boat, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the fish and that came and swallowed him. A big fish was, the whole thing is a miraculous thing, so we don't have to start objecting about how did he, survive that one, right? Because the Ashabul Kahf can survive for 309 years without food and drink. And Ibrahim alayhi salam can survive in the fire for 40 days, in a burning fire. قُلْنَا يَا نَارُ كُونِي بَرْدًا وَسَلَامًا عَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ. He's inside the fire. The rope that is binding him, his wrists and his legs and the shackles, they're burning off, but he is not being touched. So this is عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. Any case, he was swallowed by the bell in the by the fish, and the fish takes him down into the bottom of the ocean, and he is now you know, as you say, figuratively, allegorically, majazan, you say hit rock bottom. So he hit rock bottom, figuratively and literally. Right, literally and figuratively. حَقِيقَةً وَمَجَازًا. He hit rock bottom. So now he was in a very, very sad state. If you are sad about what happened in your life, if there's any gham and hum in your life, any sadness, anxiety, depression, then it cannot be more than him. Because now he is in the belly of the fish, and he completely lost hope. Then what happened is that he heard some buzzing sound, and he said, what is that? So he put his ear to the to listen closely, intently to the belly of the fish, the side. And then what happens is that he heard the stones on the bottom of the ocean, that they were doing the tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that gave him himma and courage. This is so dark that there's absolutely, in the brightest sunlight, when the sunlight is there in midday, there's no light that penetrates, because it is so, so deep and dark. I mean, it's cold there, it's obviously wet under the water, there's so many different attributes. But the one attribute that Allah Ta'ala is highlighting, as we'll see here, is fil dhulumat, darkness. Because it is so dark, 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 multiple darkness. Because it was a dark night, the sun is not there, then there's no moon, no moonless night, and then the stars are covered with dark clouds. So it's already super dark on earth, and there's no artificial illumination. And إِذَا أَخْرَجُ يَدَهُ لَمْ يَكَدْ يَرَاهَا. So dark, if you take out your hand from your pocket, you try to look at your hand, you can't see your own hand. You can't see your own hand, you can't see anything. That's how dark it is on earth. Then on top of that, then there's the darkness of the water. Then there's darkness in the depth of the water. Then the darkness of being inside a fish. Then the darkness of being inside the belly of the fish. So you have a plural. This is a plural. ظُلُمَات. And remember, Allah Ta'ala says, وَذَنُّوا. Remember, Wadhkur, remember the man of the fish, the man, Dhannun, the one of the fish. The Nun is fish here, and Dhannun, the because it's a mafrul mansub, it is the object of the verb, remember. So otherwise, it's Dhunnun, like Dhunnun al Misri. So it was a Sufi, Dhunnun. Dhannun means remember the one of the fish. Like Dhu'ilm is the one who has knowledge. Dhu-mal is the one who has wealth. Dhul-qadr is the one who has qadr in value. So Dhun-nun, remember the one of the fish. Idh-dhahaba mughadiban. I mean, there's points on everything you can comment on, but we'll just do the translation first. Idh-dhahaba mughadiban, when he walked away in anger. Big question is like, who is he angry at? We'll talk about that. فَظَنَّ أَلَّا نَقْدِرَ عَلَيْهِ. Then he thought that we will not punish him, we will not be. Qadar yaqdiru has multiple meanings, that becomes an issue. We will not put him in trouble, we will not chastise him, we will not reprimand him. That's what he thought. Fanada fil dhulumat, then he called out to me, Allah is saying, in the multiple darknesses. Dhulumat, dhulmatun is one darkness, dhulumat is multiple darknesses. Allah ilaha illa anta, that there is no one worthy of worship besides you. Subhanak, O Allah, you are pure. Inni kuntu min al-zalimin, and verily I am amongst the wrongdoers. So after this, we'll do the word by word in a moment. What happens to the, just finish the story, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings him out from the belly of the fish and to our land, and then Allah ta'ala brings a tree for him to eat from, and he gains health and strength. And then he goes back to his town. When he goes back there, lo and behold, the whole town is not destroyed. Rather, the whole town has accepted Islam. And everyone is safe. So it's one of those very good ending. And they enter Jannah, so they will live happily ever after, inshallah, in Jannah. But what happened is, on that side, when this is going on with Yunus alayhi salam, the people of the town, they realized that Yunus alayhi salam has been inviting us for decades. We have been rejecting him. And then he cursed us, and then worst thing is that he left. Because they have seen the qawm and the aqwam, the nations of the past, what happens. What happens is that right before the adab comes, the prophets leave. In fact, this is right where the rakat number 20. Rakat number 20 of tonight's Taraweeh, that's exactly what the angels were telling Lut alayhi salam. They came to tell him the night before. when the people were breaking down his door and they wanted to assault and attack the beautiful, handsome guests who came in, the angels. So Lut alayhi salam was feeling very bad that you are trying to assault and attack, sexually assault my guests, trying to rape my guests. This is the greatest dishonor for me. So go and get married to women. قَالُوا لَقَدْ عَلِمْتَ مَا لَنَا فِي بَنَاتِكَ مِنْ حَقٍ. We don't care about women. وَإِنَّكْ لَتَعْلِمُ مَا نُرِيدُ. You know we want these men. قَالَ لَوَ أَنَّ لِي بِكُمْ قُوَّةً أَوْ أَوِي إِلَىٰ رُكْنٍ شَدِيدٍ. He was very perturbed. قَالُوا يَا لُوطُ إِنَّا رُسُلُ رَبِّكَ. They said finally, they broke the silence. They said, look, we are the messengers of your Lord. They cannot hurt us. Don't become so anxious to protect your guests. فَأَسْرِ بِأَهْلِكَ بِقِطْعٍ مِّنَ اللَّيْلِ. Right now, in the night, you and your family members must evacuate the city. See, this is the instruction that Yunus alayhi salam did not wait for. But this is example right here. I wasn't planning to go into this one, but it was the rakat number 20. فَأَسْرِ بِأَهْلِكَ بِقِطْعٍ مِّنَ اللَّيْلِ. Go right now. وَلَا يَلْتَفِتْ مِنْكُمْ أَحَدٌ. Don't even turn back. As you're climbing, the adhab might start on the way as you're getting out of Sadum. So if you hear something, don't turn back and look back. Don't look back, just keep on going. إِلَّا مْرَأَتَكْ. Except for your wife, she's going to be with them. Because إِنَّهُ مُصِيبُهَا مَا أَصَابَهُمْ. She will receive the same punishment like the rest of the qawm. إِنَّ مَوْعِدَهُمُ الصُّبْحُ. This is very alerting, alarming warning they're giving. إِنَّ مَوْعِدَهُمُ الصُّبْحُ. The appointed time, the wa'ada, promise of the adab is going to strike at the break of dawn. So there, it's in the nighttime. You think, get going. And then if you don't have the urgency yet, Allahu Akbar. أَلَيْسَ الصُّبْحُ بِقَرِيبٍ. Is not the morning near? أَلَيْسَ الصُّبْحُ بِقَرِيبٍ. So get going. Leave. أَلَيْسَ الصُّبْحُ بِقَرِيبٍ. فَلَمَّا جَاءَ أَمْرُنَا. Then when the command came, جَعَلْنَا عَالِيَهَا سَافِلَهَا. We turned it upside down, like you flip a pancake or a burger. جَعَلْنَا عَالِيَهَا سَافِلَهَا. We picked it all up and turned it upside down. That is قَوْمِ لُوتٍ. Over here, in any case, subhanAllah, is that they knew this. قَوْمِ لُوتٍ happened before Yunus alayhi salam. قَوْمِ نُوحٍ happened. قَوْمِ ثَمُودٍ. صَالِحٍ alayhi salam left. So what happens is that where Madayan and Salih is in the northern Arabia, by the border of Jordan, northern Arabian Peninsula, which has become a World Heritage site now, and people go for tourism. Part of the Vision 2030 rehabilitation, right? Of anyway, so that is Ula, it's called Ula Madain al-Salih. But Salih alayhi salam, before the Adhab came, he left there and he moved down to Yemen. And where he moved, it was called Hadara Mautu Salih. This is where Salih finally died. It was a very long word, Hadara Mautu Salih. So then they took off the Salih and they kept Hadara, Hadara Mautu. So that's where you have the people from there, Hadarami. Hadaramot is a place where Salih al-Islam ended up dying when he left. So what happens is even today, these different governments, before they send in the Air Force to start bombing, shock and awe and start destroying different countries, the first thing they do is that the State Department, they will evacuate the embassy. So when, say for example, the American embassy is being evacuated, everyone's leaving in their chartered military flights, then you know that the bombing may be starting. So who are the messengers of Allah? Allah Ta'ala takes out his anbiya before the adab comes, evacuates them. So they saw that and then they all came out of the city. And they came out of the city, the men, the women, the young, the old, the animals even. And they all separated and then they all started begging and crying and making istighfar, collective tawbah. And they cried so much that this is the first time ever in the history and the last time that when the signs of the adab had become apparent on the horizon, the signs of the adab were apparent on the horizon, were coming in their direction, but had not fully entered upon the city. Like in the past, when they saw the adab coming, they did not have much history to look back to because they were earlier nations. Right after Nuh alayhi salam. So they said, when they saw the adab, they had the opposite reaction. They said, هَذَا عَارِضٌ مُمْطِرُنَا. Wow, we're so excited. These dark clouds are going to bring rain for our crops. Allah Ta'ala said, you are so wrong. You could not be more wrong. بَلْ هُوَ مَسْتَعْجَلْتُمْ بِهِ رِيحٌ فِيهَا عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. No, this is not going to bring rain. This is going to bring adab. You are so wrong in your forecast. The forecast couldn't have been worse. Whoever forecast that should be fired, right? But they're all going to be fired. They're all destroyed. Anyway, so this is what happened. When they saw, they said, Allahu Akbar, this is Allah coming, they went and made tawbah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted their tawbah. Then Waisam came back and stayed with them, and they had a happy ending, and that they were a city of believers. Over 100,000 population. It's mentioned in Surah Safa, the population is mentioned, as we will see. Okay, so over here now, Wadhan-Nun, first thing, why is he called Dhan-Nun? The person in the fish, is this an honorific title for Ikram? Even if the Noon, meaning the fish, was a part of his, you may say, tarbiyah, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving him honor by saying that he loved him so much that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him go through the tarbiyah and elevated him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the end says that he is his beloved slave. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said, لَا تُفَضِّلُونِي عَلَىٰ يُونَسِ بِنِ مَتَّى. Do not say that I'm better than Yunus ibn Matta. Then that hadith has to be explained, because of course Rasulullah is the best prophet of the Rasul. Tilka Rasul faddalna ba'dahum ala ba'd. These are the messengers, we have given honor to some over others. What he means by that is, do not degrade Yunus alayhi salam, and don't say our prophet, he never made major mistake, and Yunus alayhi salam did, and he was a sinner. Na'udhu billah, he was not a sinner. So this Wadhan-Nun is a title of honor. إِذْ ذَهَبَ مُغَاضِبًا. When he left in anger, مُغَاضِب, غَاضَبَ يُغَاضِب, مُغَاضَبَ means that it's from both sides. Meaning people were angry with him and that caused him to be angry with them. This is not referring to Allah. So this is first exit point where people went wrong. Okay, so there are different levels of mistake. People who don't even believe in Allah, atheists. Then there are those who believe in God, but then they don't believe in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They reject the Quran. Then there are those who recite the Kalima, they say they are Muslim, but then they have wrong beliefs, deviant understanding of the deen. So those who disbelieve in the whole Quran, they don't care about this. But those who say we are Muslims, but then they have wrong understanding, they have written wrong things here. First wrong thing they have written is mughadiban, anger. They say he was angry with Allah. That is ridiculous. Because a general mu'min, general Muslim cannot be angry with Allah. How can a Nabi be angry with Allah? So the Quran said mughadiban. They didn't say ghadaba yaghdibu ghadban. For ghadib means he's angry. But mughadib means that somebody made him angry and that's why he got angry in return. Right? So, like you have this back and forth, two people. Like qatala means to kill. Muqatala means that he's killing you and you're killing. There's a war going on. Or like munadhara is you're sharing views. Musha'ira is not one poet. Multiple people are coming. Nasara yansuru means to help. But munasara is you're helping one another. Mu'akala, you're feeding one another. Musharaba, you're drinking one another. Munakaha is that I give you my daughter in marriage, you give your son in marriage. Munakaha, both sides. So mughadaba means that they were angry with him. They're rejecting him. So then he got upset with them. He was not upset with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first mistake. Number two, فَظَنَّ أَلَّا نَقْدِرَ. قَدَرَ يَقْدِرُ means to have qudra and power. It also means to tight and restrict. So over here, some people, they went so wrong and they said, نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ ثُمَّ نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ نَقْلُ الْكُفْرِ لَيْسَ بِكُفْرٍ. They attacked the isma and the prophethood. The prophets are ma'asum, meaning they are divinely protected from sins. They said, he thought Allah has no power over him. Astaghfirullah al-Azim. فَظَنَّ, he thought, أَلَّا نَقْدِرَ. Allah has no qudra, no power over him. This is a basic Muslim. If you go to first grade, kindergarten, they know Allah kulli shay'in qadir. Allah has qudra over everything. How could Yunus alayhi salam think that Allah does not have qudra? Allah ta'ala uses the word, and then sometimes people may say that, you know, qadara yaqduru to mean that, to tie it in and restrict, are you really going out of your way, coming with ta'wil ba'id, like a very far-fetched interpretation just to save his name? No, that's not the case. Has it been used in the meaning of, besides qudra, to tie and restrict? In the Quran, absolutely. How many times? Many, many times. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَبْسُطُ الرِّزْقَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَقْدِرُ. Allah ta'ala opens up and expands the risk from whom he wishes. وَيَقْدِرُ. The same يَقْدِرُ, نَقْدِرُ. Which يَقْدِرُ? يَقْدِرُ means, and he tightens it, restricts it. Okay? So he thought that Allah is not going to punish him. Meaning, he said that, I have done my job. I have adaytul amana, ballaqtul risala. I conveyed the message, and then I said, oh Allah, destroy them, and the destruction is coming, so I'm going. So it was a judgment call that he made, which was a mistake in his dad. That's it. So what is the aqidah we have about anbiya? Number one, very straightforward. Anbiya alayhimus salam do not commit any sin based on nafs and hawa. Ma yantiqu anil hawa. Even they don't speak from their desires. Number one. Number two is, they can sometimes make a mistake in judgment in an ijtihadi matter that they go with hasan instead of ahsan, they go with good instead of better, they go with better instead of best. And when they do such a mistake, then it also has to be clear that they will never be allowed and permitted by Allah to remain on that mistake. Because their amal is a hujjah and a proof for the ummah to follow. So if such a mistake even does happen, they will be corrected. There will be divine intervention, a guaranteed correction from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which we of course do not have. In fact, even the sahaba don't have. Nobody has a guarantee that Allah will intervene and correct them such that the final amal will always be 100% correct, worthy of being followed. Because the Rasul is uswatun hasana, the best example to follow. So that's what happened here. He made a mistake in his judgment and he was corrected. Corrected very well. And what happens is that such a major correction, he had to go through so much trauma. Hasanatul abrar sayyatul muqarrabin. That those who are nearest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes them to a task based on how near they are. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forgot to say insha'Allah and there was wahi stop. He said, I'll tell you the answer to the question tomorrow when the mushrikun came. They traveled all the way to Medina and they got some questions from the rabbis and came and asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to test his prophethood. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I'll tell you tomorrow. He forgot to say insha'Allah. So the wahi stopped, as we know. And there's another long story there. So there are many examples of this. Allah Ta'ala's, his ibad who are close to him, he tests them more. So he called out in the darkness, multiple darknesses, we talked about that. And then he made this dua. Let's talk about the dua itself. Subhanallah, what a dua of humbleness. We kind of alluded to this already yesterday with Ayub alayhi salam, when he did not ask for help. He did not ask for shifa. He did ardul hal, iftiqar. He presented his condition in front of Allah. Ya Rabbi anni masani adhuru wa anta arhamur rahimin. Oh my Lord, I have been afflicted by all this pain and agony, and you are the most merciful. Over here also, he didn't say, take me out of the fish. He didn't say, take me back to my people. He didn't say anything. He just said, tawheed, and then tasbih, and then iqrar of dhulm. Number one, la ilaha illa ant. There is no one worthy of worship besides you. He starts off by tawheed. This is the order. First one, tawheed. La ilaha illa anta. No one worthy of worship except you. Illa Allah is a kalima we recite. Illa anta, except you, because now you're talking to Allah. So you say, la ilaha illa anta. And then, so tawheed. Then tanzih. You are pure. You are pure from all defects. You are pure from all defects, including, for example, the defect of abandoning your prophet when he doesn't deserve to be abandoned. Allahu Akbar. One of the Mufassirs wrote this, that you are pure, pure from this, pure from having a beginning, pure from an end, pure from being confined by time and space, pure from this and that, pure from any deficiency. Al-munazza'a an at-taghayyur wa nuqsan wa zawal. Pure from all deficiencies. But, he said, you are pure from being a tyrant or oppression, that you are pure from the allegation that you abandoned your prophet without him deserving to be abandoned. Meaning, I deserve the condition I'm in. You did not leave me without justification. Because subhanak, you are pure. You're pure from all defects. This is tartib al-tarbiyat. Tawheed tanzih. Then confession. Iqrar. You have to confess. You know, when the students, they come with different things and you say, okay, you know, write an apology letter. Some of them say that. What is the lamest apology? The lamest unacceptable form of apology is when there's no acceptance of guilt. I'm sorry if you felt that way. What is it supposed to mean? Like, if one student said something bad to another student, hurt his feelings, right? So then he said, okay, apologize. He said, I am sorry if you felt that way. So there is no acceptance of guilt. I mean, I never intended that. I said something wrong. Your problem that you're taking it negatively. So I feel sorry for you that you felt that way. No. You have to say, what I said is absolutely unjustified. There's no way I can justify what I said. What I said was absolutely wrong. And I apologize for hurting your feelings. Hurting your feelings is worse than destroying the Kaaba, because you're a mu'min, right? Etc. etc. So over here he accepts the, he says, Inni kuntu min al-zalimin. Verily I am one of the, subhanallah, one of the zalimin. I have committed zulm, I have committed oppression. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith, whoever will make this same dua of Yunus alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come to his aid. And this is mentioned by Allah himself. Watch, this is a great bashara for us. The next ayah is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ. We responded to his call. وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْغَمِّ. And we rescued him from his distress. And the best part is, وَكَذَلِكَ نُنْجِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. See, this last part is so beautiful, Bashara. وَكَذَلِكَ نُنْجِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And likewise, exactly in the same manner, كَذَلِكَ, likewise, exactly, إِسِي تَرَى نُنْجِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. We will rescue the believers. So if we are a mu'min, yes, أَنَا مُؤْمِنٌ حَقًّا. We are true mu'mins. So we believe, we have to believe in Allah, we have to believe that we are believing in Allah. We have to believe in our own iman too. So we believe we are mu'min, and this extension is not something done by scholars and they're kind of really stretching it. Allah Himself said right in the nas, in the text, وَكَذَلِكَ نُنْجِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. This promise is universal for all the believers. Allahu Akbar. Then moving on quickly, I just want to translate these ayat because I already covered the story. فَلَوْلَا كَانَتْ قَرِيَةٌ آمَنَتْ. Why isn't it that there was never a town that believed? فَنَفَعَهَا إِيمَانُهَا. And the belief benefited them. إِلَّا قُومَ يُونُسْ. This ayah we covered today. Except for the, in Tarabih. Except for the Qum of Yunus. Because we did Surah Yunus. لَمَّا آمَنُوا. When the people believed, كَشَفْنَا عَنْهُمْ عَذَابِ الْخِزْيِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدِّنْيَا. We removed from them the punishment in this world of humiliation. وَمَتَّعْنَاهُمْ إِلَى حِينٍ. We let them enjoy for some time. Remember I said you live happily ever after? Happily ever after is in Jannah. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا. Over here Allah Ta'ala said, we let them enjoy for some time. Because at the end of it, what happens? هَازِمُ اللَّذَّاتِ is مَوْتِ. That will destroy all the luxuries of this world as death comes. And then look at the next one in Safat. Allah Ta'ala says, وَإِنَّ يُونُسَ لَمِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. Verily, Yunus was one of the prophets. The scholars of Tafsir mention here that Allah Ta'ala knows what's going to happen, right? We're going to talk, people are going to get focused on his mistake. So Allah Ta'ala starts off by setting the record straight. Hold on, relax. He is مِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. Hold your tongue. Who are you talking about? وَإِنَّ يُونُسَ لَمِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. Verily, Yunus is one of the messengers. إِذْ أَبَقَ إِلَى الْفُلْكِ الْمَشْحُونَ. When he fled to the overloaded ship. Right? أَبَقَ is sometimes used for a slave. أَبِقْ is a slave who runs away from his master. Over here, it means that he ran quickly away. And فَسَاهَمَ فَكَانَ مِنَ الْمُضْحَدِينَ. When they drew the lots, his name was coming out multiple times. And then he was swallowed by the fish, Allah Ta'ala says here. فَالْتَقَمَهُ الْحُوتُ. The whale engulfed him when he was blaming himself. And فَلَوْلَا أَنَّهُ كَانَ مِنَ الْمُسَبِّحِينَ. One new point, Faida Jadida, that I want to add here is that Allah Ta'ala said here, كَانَ مِنَ الْمُسَبِّحِينَ. Had he not been constantly glorifying Allah, then he would, لَلَبِثَ فِي بَطْنِهِ. He would remain certainly in the belly of the fish, إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ, until the day of resurrection. The scholars of Tafsir mentioned here is that it's not that he never recited any tasbih. He never did dhikr, he never remembered Allah. And all of a sudden now in the belly of the fish, when he heard the stones doing the tasbih from the bottom of the ocean floor, then he said, oh, this is something new. I never thought about it. Let me remember Allah now for the very first time. No. كَانَ مِنَ الْمُسَبِّحِينَ. He was frequently always doing tasbih of Allah. Always doing tasbih of Allah in the past. Perpetually he was doing tasbih. Kana minal musabbihin. Kana minal musabbihin means he was always doing dhikr in the past, before the incident, not just inside the fish. So the past dhikr that he had a habit of, that is the one that inspired him to do the dhikr when the time came. It wasn't like the person who remembers Allah only in difficulty and forgets about him in good times. And then Allah Ta'ala says, concluding is that فَنَبَذْنَاهُ بِالْعَرَاءِ وَهُوَ سَقِيمٌ. We cast him onto the open shore and he was totally worn out. His whole flesh had become wrinkled and he was very sick. Then Allah Ta'ala slowly cured him. وَأَنْبَتْنَا عَلِيهِ شَجَرَةً مِنْ يَقْطِينٍ. Allah Ta'ala created a whole system of a plant to grow for him to gain strength from that. And then he went back to his nation. وَأَرْسَلْنَاهُ إِلَى مِئَةِ أَلْفٍ. Oh, Yazidun. Over 100,000 inhabitants of Nineveh, he was sent back to them. فَآمَنُوا. And they all believed. فَمَتَّعْنَاهُمْ إِلَى حِينٍ. We gave them enjoyment for some time. So we talked about his isma. We talked about his, subhanAllah, isma means that he was divinely protected from committing sins. But I just wanted to do like a very quick summary of some, and I conclude with lightning round of some of the fadail and virtues of this dua. Because this dua here is known as the ayat al-kareema, La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimeen. So many virtues have been mentioned. Very quick, Hasan Basri rahmatullah alayhi, he was asked, what is the quickest dhikr for removing trials? He said, Tasbih of Yunus when he was in the darkness, fil dhulumat. No distressed person recites it, Allah will lift his distress. Imam Sufyan Thawri said, Rahimullah, this is the dua of the makroob, the one who is choked with grief. This is the dua. If you want your supplications to be accepted, begin with it. Imam Abu Ja'far al-Tabari, Rahmatullah Ali said, people of righteousness continuously have experienced that their du'as have been accepted from this, from the earliest generations. Imam Qatada said, no one saying it, desiring relief, except Allah will say, I will respond to you like I responded to my prophet Yunus. Abdullah ibn Sa'ud radiallahu anhu said, any Muslim recites the du'a of Yunus in his distress, Allah surely responds to him. Uthman al-Jinni, a senior tabi'i, said that he recited this du'a when his ship was sinking, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected him from that. Okay. Etc. I mean, all of these mashayikh, Junaid Baghdadi, when the heart contracts, darkness enters the chest, recite the tasbih of Yunus. It is the key to breathing again. Abu al-Qasim al-Khushairi in his risalah, this tasbih is the dhikr of inkisar, breaking your heart in front of Allah and saying, I'm broken, O Allah. Whoever uses it sincerely will find that the veils and hijabs will be lifted, his heart will be illuminated. Bishr al-Hafi said, I've tested the dua of Yunus in every calamity, every time a door opened for me. Fudayl ibn Ayyad, when darkness enters the soul, say the dua of the one who was in the belly of the darkness. Allah will not leave you in constriction. And Shawliullah, Shaykh Ahmad, many more. I mean, it is pretty obvious for us that this is a very, very powerful prescription. It's a divine prescription given. And, you know, there's always like, what's the study done? How effective is it? We can see how effective it was. And then we have the, hey, was that, you know, very unique scenario? No. Allah Ta'ala said in the next ayah here, وَكَذَلِكَ نُنْجِلْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. This is how we will save and rescue the believers. So who can we blame if we do not benefit from it ourselves? Who else can we blame when Allah has given such a powerful cure for resolving all of our distress that we are in, and we do not benefit from it? La ilaha illa anta, we should fill our heart with tawheed. They say, oh Allah, you are pure, taqdees is tanzeeh, subhanak. Then make i'tiraf of our jurm, of our crime, and say, inni kuntu min al-zalimeen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to benefit from this dua and all of the du'as that we're covering every night. Wa akhir da'wana, alhamdulillah.